Welcome to Crypto Talk Radio, the podcast for everyday investors like you. Visit us on the web at cryptotalkradio.net. And now, here's your host, Leister.
Thank you for that, Bailey, and welcome everybody out there in Crypto Talk Radio, found at cryptotalkradio.net. I gotta tell you, this home buying, home hunt, home search chaos is such a... It's not as bad as the last time I went through this nonsense, but it's just all these stupid things and unfortunate time urgency wrought by unethical companies who are creating pressure that's undue. If I didn't have that, it would be I'd feel better. The endeavor's fine. It's other unscrupulous companies who are making claims that I don't know if they're true, and I'm trying to get the thing done so that it doesn't matter. I'm trying to just get the freaking thing originated. So right now, as I record this, I have the inspections complete for the new place. And if you're new, you don't know what I'm talking about. I'm in the process of trying to buy a new place so I can get my studio all set back up, get it back live. But I'm in the process. The inspection was done. I talked to the inspector because I wasn't able to be there. He found some things that, you know, we're not talking things that are necessarily immediate safety things. They're really things that just need to be fixed at some point because of the age of the home. Most of them because of the age. The garage, there's some more structural things that I'm not as much worried about because the garage is a separated garage. It's off in the back. And I was thinking, well, maybe I just tear that garage down, build an attached garage instead of the, you know, the drive path that's there. And then I can do like a small, you know, walk path to the back on the other side and put a gate there, which I was thinking maybe that's a better option, would increase the curb appeal of the home, direct access to the garage for inclement weather and some such. But I have, unfortunately, unscrupulous companies that are kind of breathing down my neck for various things that they're wrong. But unfortunately, the whole situation is a scam. The credit industry is a scam. The loan industry is a scam. It's all a scam. So I'm trying to get the home done and dusted. And so there's appraisal things and other things still yet to go. My side in terms of the money is done, but we have to make the number make sense. And then if the number makes sense, then we can pull the trigger. If we can't make it make sense, I've got some plan Cs that I'll look at. I would rather not have to, but there is some positive because I don't really want to live in the area this home is in necessarily. I'm willing to do it because it's such a nice house. So that's what's on my deck. I am not thinking too much about cryptocurrency. I'll be honest with you. I've watched it, but you know, since the halving, it's been a little bit quiet. There's a couple of things like BNB skyrocketed ever slightly and some such. And I've got some interesting bits to talk about today centered around money flows that may potentially have an impact on Bitcoin price movement. At some point in the near future, I suspect this will be a short episode. We'll see how it goes. Let's jump right into this business. Coindesk.com, and we're going to zoom out to the month chart. And starting with Ethereum, we see some negative sentiment creeping ever slightly in, largely triggered by the dump that happened a few days ago, which was a significant drop. From a high of almost $4,000 down to a low of almost $3,000, I think may have caused a little bit of panic. I'm not sure at this point why so many people are as reactive as they are. I have a theory, but it's only a theory at best. We may have had some people who tiptoed into it. Not by the two lips, but they tiptoed into cryptocurrency. They might have had a friend or something else, and they decided to try it out and see what it was, and saw this amazing dump and freaked and said, screw you, bro, I'm not doing this. It could be that. Could also be the BlackRock situation, the Grayscale situation, you know, all the other sentiment things triggering at the same time. Difficult to say any one negative catalyst. The point is, as I record this, a low of just shy of 3,200, a high of just shy of 3,300, but not trending downward, but certainly not trending upward, nowhere close to what we expect, hovering around the 3,200 mark as I record it, fresh off the halving for Bitcoin. People speculated we were going to go on this amazing run. Instead of an amazing run, Bitcoin had a low of just shy of 66 grand, a high of about 67 grand, hovering around the 67 grand-ish mark as I recorded. Didn't really move. Again, I've got some bits that may help add some light on the potential movement of Bitcoin to come based on some money shifts that were happening. I'm not giving a statement of definitive fact. I'm simply sharing what I see. First of all, kids, the moral of our story is billions and billions of dollars. So as you go through what I'm about to share, the mantra in your mind should always be billions and billions of dollars, because I'll be talking about money shifts to the tune of billions and billions of dollars. And it's important that you grasp the severity of the amount of money flowing in one direction or the other to the tune of billions and billions of dollars. I'm not trying to freak you. I want to emphasize how important it is, the level and amount of money that is speculated to go in one direction or another is going to be large. And it's going to be larger than what you might expect, which may contribute to some price movement in the future. Can't say for sure. But because it's billions and billions of dollars, we don't know what the impact of that is. So let's go down the list, and then I'll share my thoughts on this business. Mt. Gox, crypto exchange that crapped out completely. They're about to start doing some distributions. Some of the distributions are in Bitcoin. Some of the distributions are in Bitcoin Cash. Mt. Gox went crap almost a decade ago now as I record this. And they're starting to do distribution. Of course, billions and billions of dollars worth of Bitcoin. This might, and I'm stressing, might cause some negative price action. When you're giving money away, right? So there's people that were cheated when this thing went defunct, and you're going to give this amount of money, billions and billions of dollars worth of Bitcoin to people, one of two things is likely to happen. One, I'm going to emphasize, is more likely than the other. Chances are the vast majority of these people are going to sell to recoup losses. The vast majority of these people are probably in the red and have done since this happened, and they were waiting to be made whole. Some of these people might have taken other types of loans. I would argue half of that sum of these people might owe very shady, sketchy people who they need to pay back. When Bitcoin went on a run, so you're talking 10 years ago, the price of Bitcoin was nowhere close to what it is now, right? So you think about price appreciation and the impact on the perception of wealth for some of these, depending on how much they had, that are being distributed. Bitcoin Cash, in addition, went on major runs. Is it possible that the Bitcoin itself is going to be dumped? Absolutely. I think that's strongly probable. Well, what about Bitcoin Cash? If you see a rush to sell the Bitcoin Cash, which I suspect that you will, Bitcoin Cash also was nowhere close to what it is, but I don't know that there's the same value proposition as you might have with Bitcoin. This might lend to the opposite scenario, which are people who are buying more. So they get their Bitcoin, right? And they sell some of it, but not all of it, and they buy into other things. That's possible. I'm saying it's less likely than the alternative, which are people who are going to just completely dump out of the business, either because they're done with it and they don't want to do it anymore, or they owe some other people and they have to make them whole. There are people out right now who are doing everything they can to calm your freak out and tell you, well, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to dump a deep, deep, deep. They're not wrong. It doesn't guarantee that they're going to dump, but it has a strong probability that they might. Depending on those sentiments, it's possible Bitcoin goes pretty far down, because there's a lot of Bitcoin that we're talking with, billions and billions of dollars of Bitcoin transacting at the same time. It's also possible and probable, I would say, to be fair, that some of these people, when they sell, right, they cause negative price shifts, and there's going to be people that eat it up because there's demand because of the halving. So I'm letting you know, because I think I should share the opinion about what I think about this business, I'm letting you know, if you're in Bitcoin right now, don't be shocked if you see it dip beneath the 65,000 mark. But I'd be shocked if it didn't skyrocket back up immediately thereafter. But I do expect a dip of some kind. I just don't know how deep of a dip to expect. So then, speaking of billions and billions of dollars, Ripple is back in the news again. The SEC going after Ripple. The SEC was successful in getting the court to agree that Ripple violated securities laws. And this is around XRP, the token. Ripple has now appealed. They're opposing this, and they're trying to get this whole fine that the SEC is going after them lowered. So Ripple is not saying that they don't want to pay anything. They're willing to pay about $10 million. Whereas the SEC is trying to get Ripple to be culpable to close to $2 billion in a fine, in the final judgment. So this is an interesting case outcome, and the timing of it is very interesting, tenfold though I may be. You've got Ripple, who does not say that they shouldn't pay anything. They're okay paying something to try to make it go away. But the SEC wants billions and billions of dollars in a fine payable from Ripple. Now, obviously, if the court upholds the billions and billions of dollars in their finding, it's going to hurt XRP's price trends. Do I think it recovers? More than likely. But it also sets a bad precedent overall for anybody else that the SEC is going after. And that's what people are really nervous about, especially with Bitcoin. I don't know what it means, and I don't want to speculate, and I don't want to say for sure. I am telling you that the SEC wants billions and billions of dollars keyed off of Ripple, and we'll have to wait and see what happens. The SEC is not sitting on its laurels, though, because the SEC wants billions and billions of dollars from Do Rug Pull, a.k.a. Do Kwon, from Terraform Labs, to the tune of almost $5 billion is what they're asking. So the SEC is basically saying, you know, we need to send a message. That's what it's all about. They're trying to send a message to these bad actors in the crypto space, at least in their mind. And they're doing it in civil. Most people don't understand civil and the difference. Civil doesn't necessarily mean you committed a crime. Civil simply is a financial, hey, we want to go after somebody because there was harm of some kind. It's usually the civil goes the way of the person who's pressing the charges. If you think of O.J. Simpson, he lost the civil case. He never paid those people, but he lost the civil case easy. I don't even think they were out for more than a couple days. So usually civil cases are easier to expedite through, which is why the SEC is doing this end run. And all they're trying to do is send a message. I don't think they even care about the money per se. They're trying to scare the rest of the industry by saying, we are the SEC and we run this, we run the ship. How about that? We run this ship and you're going to do what we tell you to do. And if you don't, we're going to come after you in court and the court's going to side with us because we have this precedent. Because, of course, this was warned. I told you they were going to do this. I told you they weren't done. I told you they weren't going to go away. So all the people cheering about Ripple winning that case, it didn't really mean anything. They took the case outcome and they used it to bolster their case on the civil side, which is what led us to this point now. I don't think it's going to have a significant negative impact, but it's yet another negative catalyst in the bigger picture of overall cryptocurrency shifts in price movement when you see, at this point, if I tally it all up, close to $20 billion that's going to be shifted around, all around cryptocurrency, possibly more, because you also have Poof Hair and he's out there with something going on. I can't really give you any advice. I can't tell you what to do with your money. I will tell you, it is strongly probable there is some negative price action coming from Bitcoin. With negative price action coming from Bitcoin, it's going to negatively impact all of the rest of the tokens as well, albeit briefly, and I don't think it'll last forever. Do I think we end up with another FTX-type crash, you know, where it goes down to 12,000? Damn, I sure hope so. And I say that not because I want you to get wrecked. It's because I would love to be able to buy in at a cheaper price point now that the halving has occurred. Because my logic is that now that the halving has occurred, it's possible Bitcoin has an easier time breaching the top threshold. And I think part of what's holding it back is its current price resistance and resilience, where it refuses to go any lower or significantly lower, where there are people on the sidelines, such as myself, waiting for that discount to get back in again, knowing that it's going to probably go even higher this time around. That's how I stage this business. So, again, as I told you, the mantra is billions and billions of dollars for today's episode. However, that statement does not apply to my closeout update, and that's around Cytochain. Because Cytochain will not smell in the near future anywhere close that amount of money. They simply are not going to, because they made some very challenging and difficult decisions in their attempt to recover from the chaos that got them to this point. They have launched the Layer Zero blockchain as they said they were going to do. As I told the person who wanted to argue with me on YouTube, nobody's using the blockchain. Now, mind you, Cytochain, Saitama Manny the Hitman, has been around for ages and they know who he is. And the name has been out there, but I was telling people, if Shibarium wasn't going to get the significant traffic, if Pulse Chain wasn't going to get significant traffic, Cytochain damn sure wasn't going to do it. Not because of anything with the token or the project, although I did get a snapshot of an error that came from the Cytochain website that told me the code that they're using, all of their files. What I'm warning people, and it's just a warning, I'm not giving definitive anything, it's a warning. What I'm warning people is that when you have websites where the code is just jacked up and I can trap easy errors that tell me if I really were so malicious how to breach your site, it doesn't give me confidence in the veracity or the security of the code for the token for which this is done or the blockchain. So although some people might think it's a small thing, the reason I consider it a large deal is because I should not see the kinds of silly, stupid errors that I see on your website. I understand that many in cryptocurrency don't see a reason to keep a website up to date, but you got to consider the perspective to somebody that's looking at it. If you can't code a website properly, how can we trust you to code a blockchain safely and securely? Now, it could be the safe and secure thing and since sliced bread. And I know that they're seeking the Certic and all that, and I got you. Let me remind people, there have been plenty of breaches on tokens that were audited by Certic. It's a bit of a Chewbacca. So if any of them hear the feedback, I'm simply encouraging you to stop, slow down at minimum, but preferably stop, and get your fundamentals back in order. You should not have these kinds of errors where I can see the underlying code. I'm talking the back-end code of your site. And yes, I saw the back-end code of your site. I know exactly what it's doing. And I know that if somebody really cared to do it, like you're not even in anybody's spotlight right now, but if you were, it would be very easy to do all sorts of injection attacks. And I don't want to see that happen to you. So if you want the smoke, I'm happy to help you in what I saw. Because the perspective from me is that it's not ready for prime time. Because even if you do get it out there, by the time you get enough traffic, there's going to be some sort of a breach, hack, failure of some sort, and it's going to kill your momentum before you even get started. If you don't care, that's great. The other point of Cytochain that somebody called out was a question about how the market cap suddenly jumped from $16 million and jumped all the way up to like $80 million. And unfortunately, I cannot answer that person's question, because usually when you see those kinds of major dip shifts, it usually means something sketchy. What I can tell you for sure is on April 22nd, so that's yesterday, as we record this, yesterday there was a significant amount of separate transactions, all exceeding $1 million, so $1.2 million on average, and these transactions came once per hour, like clockwork. I find that very shady and very suspicious, because the amount of the transactions is very predictable, and it's roughly every hour, which usually indicates some sort of a bot. I can't say that it was a bot. I'm telling you that usually when you see this kind of predictable pattern of amounts that are roughly about the same, hour after hour, it usually means some sort of automation, which begs the question where this money's coming from, and I can't say what the answer is to that question. I'm simply responding to the person who is curious about how you're able to go from $16 million market cap all the way up to $80 million in the span of a day after the burns and everything took place. I don't know what they're doing other than the mistake they made with PancakeSwap, which revealed itself with a user on CoinMarketCap who pointed out a screenshot, as I warned, didn't come back and give my credit, but I warned people of what that meant when you did that, because Dex Screener and certain other tools now are calling it a scam. Token Sniffer is calling it a scam. I want to try my best to allay concerns, because although it's kind of turning back into a cult at points, I suspect there are good people in there that don't know any better, and I'd like to warn you about what's situated here. What Dex Screener is seeing and what Dex Screener is saying is this is a freaking scam because you have no liquidity. They're looking at PancakeSwap. I told you yanking, which is essentially a rug pull by definition, yanking the liquidity from PancakeSwap is going to highlight to people via certain tools that it's a rug pull. I told you that's what would happen. You can go to Dex Screener yourself and see what I said to be the truth. And all I said is come out, give my credit, and stop making stupid fucking decisions. That's all I said. I understand the thought, and I said it's a mistake, and I said he doesn't want to succeed. Because they're so far in the fucking bubble, they don't understand what the perception is. The perception is that you're being scammed. People like myself are trying to allay the concern and tell you that they're not trying to scam you. I'll say that in confidence. They're not trying to scam you. They're incompetent. That's all. They're not trying to scam you. They're incompetent. They don't know what the fuck they're doing, because they're making decisions without considering the perception they put across when they make the decisions and how the tools react, because in their mind, those tools are not relevant anymore. In their mind, you can just go to these tools that we create and you don't need it. I wouldn't mind advocating it if they would fix the bugs where you're calling it Tether, simple, silly spelling errors, and the inability to see inventory without connecting a wallet and the assumption of wallet, you know, MetaMask on the wallet. If you would fix the silly stupid, I might be willing to advocate that as an alternative. It doesn't change the fact that outside the crypto bubble, they're not going to do it. They're going to go and get some Ethereum. They're going from their whatever, usually Coinbase crap or Robinhood. They're going to go shopping on Uniswap to try to buy it. That still works, as I told people. But they're going to hear from people in the ecosystem or on Telescam that BNB is cheaper. They're going to try to buy it on BNB and they won't be able to do so, because they're going to assume that they should go to PancakeSwap because that's what they're going to be told, and they cannot do. There would have been no negative in leaving the liquidity pool in PancakeSwap as an alternative for people that want to do it. Ultimately, folks, it's their token. Manny's going to do whatever the hell he wants to do. You have a decision to make. You can go along with it and roll with it and roll the dice and see if it pans out as something. Never once did I tell you not to buy in. Never once did I tell you to sell. What I said is you got to go to their shit, dex.sided.pro. If you plan to transact on the BNB chain, you cannot go to PancakeSwap. And your wallet or Dex Screener or Token Sniffer or whatever is going to swear to you you got rug pulled and I've said you did not. The guy's just an idiot. None of what I just said is in dispute. So people can try to come at me. I've not said anything that you can't see for yourself to be the truth. And I simply said you need to make a decision, because SIDA chain is not going to be running billions and billions of dollars like all the rest of these, and like in the old school, when you're yanking accessibility from the mainstream. And I don't buy that these transactions of a $1.2 million per hour on one day are just organic, natural people buying in. Why ever they are a thing, whatever they are, I don't have a say, I don't have a stake, they're going to do what they're going to do. And all I've ever said, make a choice. like Debo. Make a choice and do what you're going to do. It's disgusting, frankly, to see it still be a thing and people still fall for the same crap over and over again. And a team where they can build pretty websites all they care to, right? Shibarium with their layer two that's built on top of whatever that garbage is for the security. Bone is dipping again. If Shibarium couldn't do it with 2 million people, I simply have low confidence that Saida is going to be able to do it with less than 200,000, is all I said. Because they don't want that smoke. They don't want people to help them. They're in the bubble. And maybe they only care about the local Dubai people, but I don't see that in the price movement either. So who knows what's going on there? And it's not something where I'm going to lie to people and tell you it's going to all be all right. Maybe it will, but all points of data point to they're just idiots that don't want it to succeed. Time will tell, though, won't it? In the meantime and in between time, a lot is going to happen over the next couple of months. I suspect we're going to get some positive price movement across the board. This is when you should step back and look at all the token projects that you're following. You should look and see the ones that are crapping, irrespective of said price movement. On probably, I may even do it as an out-of-cycle update. I'm going to be doing, by the way, for those listening to the show that came from the ecosystem, I am going to be doing an update around the Thorium ecosystem, against my better judgment. But I think it's important because some things have changed a little bit, some for the better, some not. So I'm going to be talking about that, and I'll do it as an out-of-cycle because I don't want to bog down the show. And we're not recording till next Tuesday anyway, so I'll just do an out-of-cycle on that one probably tomorrow. Let me gather up my thoughts on that fiasco, but I wanted to share it. It's interesting, you know, seeing what happened with Thorium and seeing it's still kicking. Titano's toast, whatever that one with the P in it is toast. Seifu is toast. All those other ones, all those clones, they're all gone. Fino Finance, that one's dead. Access Protocol might as well do. Forever Financial, toast. It's interesting to see Thorium's the only one left standing. That's intriguing for many reasons, because those numbnuts did everything wrong. And yet, they managed to outlast all of the other ones in the way. So I'm going to do an out-of-cycle on that, just to do an update for those that may care about such a thing. I'm going to keep on chugging on this home business, this new home for the business, for the brand, and see if we can make it all work. And keep tuned for the out-of-cycles. They're going to keep coming. I'm trying my best to make sure that they are of value. Feedback's always welcome. CryptoTalk.fm. Hit the contact form, contact links at the top. Let us know what you think. We hear from some people that the out-of-cycles are, they're appreciated. Some people like that back. And the YouTube numbers, because it automatically posts there, seem to indicate that there is an interest in that cadence, so we don't mind keeping it. Although it's not what we prefer, we don't mind doing that because we always listen to that feedback. So as long as people prefer it, it's what we'll do. My closeout update. The show, so I talk about the video, is coming back. It's going to rebrand. It's going to be a joined show. So it's no longer going to be just a crypto show. It's just going to be a joined show for CTR. If I can get this freaking, you know, loan sorted out and get the place and then sort all that nonsense out, once that's done, then I'll be able to set up the studio the way I want. I already know the room. It's already halfway decked out. I have to get it set up with the sound suppression, update the windows. Once the studio's back, it'll be 10 times better, I think, than what the old show did. But again, it's going to be a CTR show. I have yet to decide if I'm going to do it as a nightly show or a weekly show. I suspect there's not enough content for a nightly show, and I may just settle on a weekly show. I may worry about feedback and just kind of play it by ear. There's going to be a large campaign to attract attention to this show, because I frankly think once I'm said and done, people are going to notice, you know, the visual quality of what he's got going on is top notch. And I want more to experience it, which is why it's a CTR joined show around various different topics as opposed to just a crypto show. Stay tuned for that. I'm really excited for it. And the hope is that we will have more people join the triad, because I do think that, and as part of this, the radio, which is a different brand under CTR, giveaways will be a thing in the form of contests. And I just have to make sure I'm familiar with the regulations on this business. But I'm talking even at local schools. Like, I've got really lofty visions on this thing. And if I can pull it off, I think it's going to be pretty awesome. Stay tuned for what we got coming down the pipe in the near future.